Greeting, my dear brethren, in the name of the Lord. Certainly a pleasure to be with you during this convention. Now, we've entitled our thoughts, A New Administration. And during this presentation, we will be revisiting some points we brought out earlier today in our discourses. But we realize that from now on until the next about 58 days, seems like years, the focus of our country has been set on a presidential election process. It has been even going on during this pandemic, the global pandemic that has, of course, brought sorrow and misery to many throughout the world and even to our country. Time, energy, resources, including financial means in the millions, will be exhausted in an effort to secure new leadership for our country or to ensure 4 more years for the current leadership. Promises are being made, change is on the way, and that old failed way of doing things will supposedly give way to much better conditions in our country. Many have great expectations concerning what type of new administration is soon to be elected president and his cabinet would bring, or whether things will improve in the near future if the present leaders prevail. Much of the focus concerns, look what I have done for you, or what I will do for you. And this appeals, as we realize, to the hearts and minds of men, to the selfishness that, and pride that exists in our human family. Other thoughts may be, what will they accomplish? Will they bring prosperity to our country? Will I prosper financially? Will they bring lasting peace and true equality for the masses? Will the promises be kept? Or take note of the times and seasons fulfillment of prophecy, we know that the kingdoms of this world will pass away. Man cannot bring lasting peace concerning his own devices, but must go to higher things, which we one day know will come true. So our interest, though, as Bible students, however, lies in a selection establishment of a new administration spoken of in God's holy word. It too requires an election process that is mentioned by Apostle Peter when he says, give all diligence to make your calling election sure, 2 Peter 1:10. It is based on faith, God's word, proper instruction, proper character development, and really a complete trust in the Heavenly Father and not in self. And we don't see this in our leaders today. So you know that better things have to come our way. The selection, or more accurately, the election again, a selection by God, is found applied in the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Israel, mine elect, Isaiah 45:4. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. It shows, as we realize, God's special covenant that he had with the nation of Israel. But since we know that natural Israel is a type of spiritual Israel, the selection can also apply to spiritual Israel, the bride of Christ, called according to God's will during the gospel age. You have been called with a holy calling, 2 Timothy 1:9. This invitation also involves, my son, give me thine heart, the center of your affections. And again, that's brought out in Proverbs 23, 26. And with this invitation, there's also much that we must do to prepare for our office. The fruit of the Spirit must be developed, as recorded for us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You know these words. It involves joy, love, peace, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering, temperance, goodness, and faith. Again, above all, love. We see this much lacking in the world of mankind today concerning love for fellow man, love for one another, love for God. We are striving to walk in the Lord's footsteps, knowing that we desire to have our thoughts, our words, our hearts as pure as possible so that we may be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, Psalm 19:14. And this really is a proper and appropriate prayer from all the Lord's people to voice their love and devotion to Heavenly Father, to use me and help me develop in a way pleasing to Thee, dear Father. So nothing short of purity of heart, as we have mentioned, and intention can be acceptable to God. We have this relationship with our Heavenly Father. We must first understand that Jesus' sacrifice, as we know, made it possible for us to have a standing before God. The prophet also points out the Messiah, saying, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Isaiah 42:1. Mine elect, Jesus and the church, but especially his well-beloved Son, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, at the right hand of God, he now sits, the chief of all the elect, or head over all. As we have mentioned in the New Testament, we find reference made to the selection, or the selection as put on there for the elect of God. Just think of this, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, Colossians 3:12. I'm stressing this because it is needful if we would stand complete in the will of God, and that's where we want to stand. Above all, stand, be firm in your convictions. Don't be distracted by the events of this world. Focus, have spiritual focus on the things that are important. I'm stressing this because it is needful, again, for us to receive, who have received that Holy Spirit, to fill that love of God, shed abroad in our hearts. And again, as a center of our affections, it goes out and involves everything that we do in our lives. Our hearts producing then within us love for God, love for the brethren, love for the fruits of the Spirit that we want to see in each other. And thankful that, again, we can help one another fight that good fight of faith. So all in Christ, the elect, could withstand these darts and arrows of the adversary, the persecutions that will surely come our way. We have assurance, though, in Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? So only as we're able to realize an obedient faith are we able to apply these gracious promises to ourselves or to rest in them. And dear brethren, we must daily examine ourselves, so keep our thoughts and motives pure, keep our sacrifice on the altar. Again, no matter what is going on around about us, God is always with us. We're being selected by God to be partakers of that heavenly calling, Hebrews 3:1. Again, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, we have mentioned through justification, sanctification, if faithful, then glorification. That complete election process when through Jesus, God will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth and the uttermost part of heaven, Mark 13:27. Again, the glorification, we point to that at the end of our walk with its trials and circumstances, joys and sorrows. Once again, that was Mark 13:27. This work will be the election of two harvests, one at the closing of the Jewish age, as we realize, and the other at the close of the gospel age, and they'll come to fruition. Look at Isaiah 2:2-3. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house, Lord's house, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. The majority of mankind will be completely disgusted with Satan's ruling as the prince of this world and his deceptions, and glad to submit to the reign of Christ, that glorious reign of Christ. Isaiah 28:17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hills shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. So nothing shall be hidden, all shall be revealed. The condition of man's heart and mind will be revealed. Confusion will give way to order and harmony through that pure language that comes from above. So, brethren, all nations will be desiring of salvation through the blessing of the full restitution. Come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word from out of Jerusalem, Isaiah 2:2-3, once again. Isaiah shows us this beautiful kingdom, Messiah's kingdom, represented on earth by Israel as a divine channel of blessing, and the ancient worthies as princes on this earth. As we know, the ancient worthies will constitute that earthly Jerusalem, the capital of the new dispensation. And there was really a good discussion during the intermission concerning that. Wonderful ideas, again, that were brought forth. The true heroes of faith will have that wonderful reward. God knows who they are. So the work of that new dispensation will bring the administration of the blessing of all the founds of the earth, described as occurring when the Son of Righteousness, representing Christ, shall rise with healing in his wings, Malachi 4:2. It will bring joy, peace, and everlasting life to all who wish to live obediently on a restored and perfect earth forever. Again, words that were spoken, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. We know that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And again, it'll be a fulfillment that the government shall be upon his shoulders. Then we shall have a fulfillment of proclamation. I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. Luke 2, 10, 11. Truly, brethren, God's ways are higher than man's ways, and will be accomplished through the perfect administration of his will, his plan of the ages, and carried out by the means of his wonderful character of love, mercy, wisdom, and power on behalf of the human family.